This podcast is sponsored by Aurora Packaging Solutions, a global packaging solutions provider leading the transition to a more sustainably packaged future. They specialize in developing packaging and visual communication solutions that reduce the impact on the environment and bring sustainability goals to life. With a focus on partnership and service, they create a custom solution for your business. To learn more, please visit www.ororapackaging.com.
Welcome to Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. Today's guest is Brittany Salisbury, the Sustainability Operations Manager for the Portland Trailblazers. How are you, Brittany?
I am doing good. How about you?
Good. I am honored to get to interview you. I'm a huge Blazers fan as a Portlander and excited to just be a part of what you and your team are doing there at the Moda Center. It's an incredible feat. I'm excited to share it with the audience, but can you tell us a little bit about your background before we go too far into sustainability?
Yeah, of course. My background is in actually green building consulting and sustainability consulting. So prior to my time at Portland Trailblazers, I spent about 8 years as a sustainability consultant, really focusing on commercial building certifications like LEED and the WELL building standard, but also larger portfolio level sustainable design guidelines and operational standards for corporate clients.
That's a great background for what you're doing now, I think. That's really cool to see someone transition from building and construction to more holistic sustainability. It's really cool. Before we go too much further, I want to explain to the audience who the Trailblazers are. Should we talk about that a little bit before we go too crazy? I think it's pretty obvious to most, but I wanted to just say that they are our local professional basketball team and have been around since 1971, if I recall. Is that right? Something like that?
I believe so. I should know that. I should know that, but you're talking to the sustainability person.
That's all right. That's all right. We won the championship in 1977.
Yep.
And I was actually there. My mom was pregnant with me when they won. And so her and my dad were at the game where they won. So I get to tell people that I was there when they won.
That's awesome. Hopefully we'll win another one that you'll get to see.
I would love that. I'll be there. Oftentimes I'm asked when I'm interviewed on podcasts, why is sustainability so important to me? As a Northwesterner, it's just been ingrained in our lives. But why is it so important to the Trailblazers? Why is sustainability so important?
Yeah, so we have a long history as an organization of really being leaders in sustainability and being on the forefront of that all the way back to like 2007, I would say, was eight when we really started diving more heavily into our sustainability goals. Yeah. I think for us, one, our city, we have a lot of environmentally conscious people in Portland. So we're in the market where people care about that. But I think it's bigger than that. I think as an NBA team, we have a big impact on our community. And we're really able to give back to our community through various different community events and programs we have. But then we also have to think about the sustainability side and how that impacts our community as well, right? Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we're trailblazing a legacy, so to speak, for future generations so we can continue to play basketball into the future. So we really do have that commitment to protecting the places we live, learn, and play. And protecting our community, because if we're just tossing 600 tons of waste into a landfill every year, that's not doing anything to protecting our community. That's hurting our community. We want to make sure we're giving back both directly and indirectly to our community.
I love that. That's exactly right. And how are the fans responding to some of your initiatives? Are you getting mostly positive feedback from these ideas?
Yeah, we are getting mostly positive feedback from our sustainability initiative. So that's really great to see. I wish I had more current numbers for you, but we actually are working on getting more survey data just to really get a more recent statistic on how much, what percentage of our fans really care about these things so we can continue to build and make these programs even better into the future.
I see even brighter things for you in the future and for the Trailblazers and for all of Oregon. I think you're right. Hopefully that will lead into other teams following suit saying, oh, the Blazers did something that worked really well. We could do that too. And are you getting calls from other teams or other organizations saying, how did that come about? What was the impetus for that kind of thing?
We are, especially with our Rip City reuse program that we launched this season, we're getting a lot of interest in having actually a lot of teams come visit just to see operationally how that is working for us and how we were able to get it off the ground and how we're working things on the back end that our fans might not see and just how that's working and how they could potentially implement it at their arenas and venues as well. So that's really cool to see. And it's not even just NBA teams, it's other large venues that are very interested.
It's such a perfect solution. I'm totally impressed with it. How did that idea come to be? Was it presented to you or was it your thought?
So when I started over about 2 years ago, when I started, we about, I don't know how many months prior, maybe like 6 months prior, there had been changes in local waste management, specifically around compost and the city no longer accepting compostable serviceware, which we had been sending to be composted for years. We had transitioned most of our concession products to compostables. And unfortunately, when that change happened, we could still send our food waste to compost, but we could no longer send our compostable serviceware. Mm-hmm. To compost. So we were landfilling that for a period of time while we were trying to figure out a solution. And we were able to figure out a solution to where we are able now to compost those items privately, which is very exciting. We're working with a farmer, Ann and Brothers Farms. He takes those items, he composts it, he used that compost to grow Oregon hazelnuts, which is amazing. So it stays here locally and it's used locally. But that took a while. That took a while to happen and to pull that off. Right. So in the interim, I was also thinking creatively around, okay, how could we address the waste in a way that we just aren't creating it in the first place? And I think people have always thought about reuse in an arena, but it has always seemed very daunting. Like, oh, that's going to create such a logistical nightmare. It's going to be too hard. It's going to add too many labor hours. But I was really interested in it and just exploring that idea. So about a year and a half ago, I reached out to what used to be GoBox and they are now Bold Reuse. I reached out to them because I knew they were a local company here working in the reuse space, just to have a conversation and kind of have a discovery session, get their thoughts on what might be possible in a setting like Moda Center. And that's just how this all started. We actually last season did do a small pilot with reusables that was only on the club level, and we were using reusable food trays. And through the success of that program, we were able to do this full-scale program this season with every single alcoholic beverage that's poured is now served in a reusable cup.
That's amazing. Congratulations. I got the honor of interviewing the team from Bold Reuse about a year ago, and they didn't mention this. I think they probably knew about it and couldn't talk about it yet. But now that's all they'll talk about.
Yeah, they have been great to work with. And it just worked out so well, too, that they are only about a mile and a half away from the arena. So the transportation footprint of taking the cups there to be washed is very minimal, which to me was something that was important if we were going to have a successful reuse program.
And when I toured their facility, I was amazed at how minimal the infrastructure needed to be to accomplish this. and a few washing machines, a bunch of racks, some great workers who are diligent and careful. But were you surprised by that too? How easy, not easy, but how simple it was?
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. It's actually really cool to see how their facility has changed from when I first went there about a year and a half ago to now. They've definitely made some major upgrades and are getting more and more efficient to do larger volumes in a shorter amount of time. So I love to see that. And I think something else that is just beautiful about this partnership is that we're able to support a local business. Because again, it just goes back to that community aspect. How can we support our community? And that can look a lot of different ways. It can be work with nonprofits, or it could be we're giving our business to these smaller local businesses and supporting our local economy.
And a female-owned business, which is really cool. Yes. They're incredible people there. Like you said, local, small business, incredible. Couldn't be much better, in my opinion. Well done. Any idea how many cups you have eliminated from the landfill in this process so far?
Yeah. So right now, I think I checked our tracker the other day. We actually have a live tracker on our landing page for the Rip City Reuse Program, which is a fun thing to engage fans so they can see that physical number and the impact they're having. But yeah, when I checked yesterday, we're up about 151,000 cups have been eliminated, and it's just been 2.5 months of events. So we're really excited. Our target is 500,000 for the season or for the year. Obviously the season isn't fully a year, but in a year we are planning to at least divert 500,000 from our waste stream, which is really exciting.
That's amazing. Incredible. We'll have to figure out the math on how much weight of material that would be, or maybe how many truckloads that would convert to of single-use plastic cups.
Yeah. Yep. And I do have the weights, but I would need to run the calculation. But that is something that we're building out in our dashboard, or Bold Reuse is building out in the dashboard for us. So we can just see the weights right there along with that cup count number.
Talk about a motivation for other people to follow suit. I think this is one of those things where everybody wins as we convert to closed loop systems like this. It just makes sense. I also noticed at a recent concert at your facility there, the Depeche Mode concert, they had even taken another step further and eliminated single-use plastic water bottles. Is that something that Moda's looking into long-term?
It's something we're looking at. So that was a request from Depeche Mode. We're seeing a lot more tours come to us with sustainability writers with specific requirements that they would like us to meet. Obviously, every arena and every locality is different to what they can achieve. But we try and meet as many as we can. And typically, we're able to meet almost all of them. For that specific concert, we only switched out the suites. So I'm guessing you were in a simply because we weren't able to switch out and flip the whole building just for that one show in time. But it was great for us to be able to do that effort. That is actually a complicated question in terms of me looking to switch out, or me looking to see if I should push for us to switch out when we... And we have the bottle bill. So we have bottle drop, and we actually do a bottle pick at the end of every event. So we're picking out all the bottles and cans, and then those actually get picked up by nonprofit groups that then take them to bottle drop and keep that money for their own fundraising, which is a really cool program we do. But so back to the plastic versus aluminum. So in Oregon, specifically, the issue I think with plastic bottles a lot of the time is they can often be sent overseas to be recycled, which obviously has a huge carbon footprint. But our plastic bottles, that we actually have a plastic bottle recycling facility right here in St. Helens, where they recycle those bottles, the plastic bottles directly. Aluminum actually gets sent to, I believe, the South. So it's actually sent farther to be recycled. So it's this catch-22 of do I want to switch to aluminum when that's being sent out farther? The thing is, I do know aluminum is, you know, infinitely recyclable, but it is also a more carbon intensive process to recycle, and it's being sent farther away. Plastic, I do know it has a limit into how much, how many times it can be recycled, right? Yeah. Before it starts to just lose its integrity. So it's something I just haven't addressed yet, because I'm like, do we want to pay this more expensive price for aluminum when we don't necessarily know if that embodied carbon and that associated carbon footprint with it is actually better than plastic when we're in a state that kind of really supports that plastic recycling and we know it's being recycled, versus if we were just throwing that into the mixed recycling, I wouldn't count on it being recycled as well as knowing it's being sent to bottle drop.
Great points. And it's fascinating because Oregon was the first state in the union to have a bottle deposit scheme back in right about the same time of 1971. So it's cool to see the Blazers and the bottle deposit and all of these things come to fruition at the same time and to see us talking about it still. But the bottle deposit system and the bottle drop, as you call it, is pretty amazing. And I have to commend our state for that leadership. I have spoken with the team over there at Bottle Drop, and people from all over the world are asking them, how do you do this? And how can we replicate this? So we're true leaders here in the Northwest, and it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other projects coming up that you can reveal to us yet, or anything that you're looking at? I have to commend you on your green night. That was incredible. Do you want to talk about that a little bit as well?
Yeah, sure. So we recently had what we're calling a green game, where it's just really a night where we can highlight sustainability to our fans, the things we do at the arena to be more sustainable, but also then add in some education to our fans and things they could do, even things they can do at the arena to be sustainable. For example, return your reusable cup, or like everything served in the concession stands is in compostable serviceware. Drop that in the compost. So it's just an opportunity to highlight that. We used to do these green games in years past, but with the pandemic and I think just changes in the organization, we actually really haven't had one in about 4 or 5 years. So it's really exciting to bring them back. And my plan is that annually we will have a green game. The idea it will be earlier in the season so that we have that opportunity to educate fans early in the season around things they can do in the arena to help us be sustainable, things they can do at home as well.
It was an awesome event and my whole family was there. My kids truly enjoyed the Jamba Juice bikes so they could power the yes. thing and win they're so proud of their Blazers cups that they won.
Oh yes, they got a tumbler before they ran out. That's good. Yeah, that was a super fun thing. Yeah, and we wanted to be conscious of what we were giving away that night, so reusables felt like a great thing to give away as long as they're things that people would want to use.
Yes, and we should talk about the NotPla Gatorade capsules. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so we were excited to pilot NotPla at this game and their edible Ohos. So they are a seaweed packaged edible bubble. They look like a Tide Pod. I don't want to compare it to that, but that's what they look like.
Right.
But the coating is completely made out of seaweed. And then you can put, or they can infuse it with any type of beverage you want. So they could even do like alcohol in there. But we decided to do Gatorade because that'd just be a fun thing to give away to people. And yeah, it was a really fun interactive piece that was really just meant to be a fun conversation starter with our fans around packaging and just to get them thinking about packaging and what zero waste packaging really could look like in the future.
Yeah, you're a true leader and an innovator, and I'm totally impressed with you and your team. So well done. The NotPla thing is only been done in Europe so far. So you were
excited to be the first US venue or professional sports venue to pilot them.
Incredible. They just won a million pound award from the Earthshot team last year, which was incredible. But I'm excited to see what happens next. Anything else that you can tell us about? Any sneak peeks for 2024?
At this time, I don't have anything I can share, but I'm going to continue to push us to innovate even more. That's my goal, for us to just continue to innovate. We're really lucky, too, that we are in a bit of a smaller market as an NBA team, and that does give us a little bit more freedom to do these really innovative pilots like Rip City Reuse, like working with NotPla, and just really lean into that innovation and new things and not be afraid to try new things. Yeah.
Keep up the great work. How do people get in touch with you and the Blazers to buy season tickets or support the team?
Yeah. So if you want to buy tickets, you can go to w.nba.com/Blazers and you can purchase tickets there. And then if you'd like to get in touch with me, LinkedIn is probably the best location. You can just look me up by my name, Brittany Salisbury, and you can get into contact with me that way.
Thanks again, Brittany. Really appreciate your time and your wisdom, and keep up the great work over there.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Corey.
This episode is sponsored by SpecRite, the first purpose-built platform for specification management. So much has changed when it comes to packaging, and there's a new book to help you stay ahead of the curve, The Evolution of Products and Packaging, written by longtime packaging executive Mr. Matthew Wright, helps you unpack industry trends and explains how you can use data to drive packaging innovation and sustainability. Download your free copy today at specright.com/book. That's SPECRIGHT.com/book.